Good morning, everyone, and thank you for such a warm welcome. It is such a privilege to be here with you, and I can't tell you how humbled I am to be able to come and speak with you today. As Barry said, there are two of us that are part of this tree that God is building, and Tammy is actually on her way back from Haiti. She's been doing some incredible work over there, so you have me today, and I'm hoping that Tammy's going to be able to come in and also share with you. So today I really wanted to focus. I know that especially our young people, you are really focused now on your education and also your faith. And I want to talk a little bit about that today, as well as No Greater Love. So we're gonna talk about two different things today. No Greater Love actually was a vision that God gave to me in 2002. That's a long time ago, it seems. And it took a long time to come to fruition. And one of the things that I learned from this is the power of prayer, but also the power of listening and following. Because sometimes we don't understand what God is going to give to us in terms of messages. And most certainly, most of the time, we don't understand the journey. We're always being given something else. And how many of us have sat there and said, "Say what? You want me to do what?" What's really important to do is to really listen to that inner voice and to have the courage to step outside the box, even when God is asking you to do something that you think is just not attainable. And I can speak to this because in 2002, I had the great privilege of working for one of the top producers in Canada. This gentleman had produced incredible shows across the United States and across Canada. And when I had this vision, I walked into his office the next day and I was all excited. And I said, "Jeff, we should do a Christian festival." And the enemy kind of leapt out from under behind him. And he said, "Absolutely not. I've been in this business for I don't know how long. And there's no room for a Christian festival in Calgary, never mind in Canada." And at that time, I didn't have the courage. And I walked out. And I said, "Okay, well, I guess that's that." And I just carried on with life. I carried on with doing other little things that I thought God wanted me to do. I started my own business. I started to do other things. But God was always there, pulling the string, pulling it back, and hammering at me, literally, to bring this to fruition. This is a huge project, No Greater Love. And his directions were, as Christians, we have become fragmented. We have become weaker as a Christian community because of that fragmentation. And a lot of that falls into our denominational boxes. A lot of it falls in what I call traditional thinking in terms of how we were raised and how our relationships have developed with Jesus. So I truly now, looking at it in hindsight, believe that God wanted No Greater Love to be this place where people in our community, the faithful, can come for one weekend a year and celebrate. Celebrate each other, but most of all, give him the glory. And most of all, do it in unity. The vision has always been that we would cast the net and ask everyone to come. And also those non-believers or those people that were sitting on the fence, because we were creating a safe place for them to come. We were creating a place where there was no politics. We were creating a place where no one was standing beside them and saying, "Don't worship like that. That's not right." We were creating a safe place where everyone could come and worship together. and learn from each other and have fellowship. So No Greater Love suddenly became not just a festival, it became a ministry. So let me take you back to the beginning, because I want to talk a little bit about the power of prayer and the power of faith. No Greater Love, as a festival, costs well over $500,000 every year to put on. That's a huge undertaking. When Tammy and I looked at this, and we looked at each other, and we went, okay, we've got a name, we've incorporated a company, we've got about $150 between the two of us to open a bank account. And that's what we did. And then we fell on our knees in prayer and said, okay, Lord, you've given this to us, now what are we going to do? And we didn't even question the fact that there was that amount of money in our bank account. We just put one foot in front of the other and started talking to people. And I can tell you unequivocally that the enemy does not want this festival to go forward. And the reason that I know that is when we first started going in and talking to churches and pastors about No Greater Love, the reception was warm, Christian to Christian, but in terms of an event, that's what it was to them. It wasn't a ministry. They could not seem to see the validity in it because they didn't understand it. So once we got into year one and people came to No Greater Love and had the experiences that they had, they were able to go back and talk to their pastors. And then things started to slowly change because people then began to understand what this was all about. In year one, I had a gentleman say to me that he could not support No Greater Love because we were not apostolic enough. And I can remember weeping, getting in the car and weeping and thinking to myself, what does that really mean? Because No Greater Love was changing lives. What we have created with God's wisdom and God's direction is this event where things happen by the Spirit organically. In year one, we had 10 baptisms in the river. 10. Organically. I am second, was on the field. And I can remember standing on the stage when the gates opened the first day of No Greater One, or no, on day one of No Greater Love, and weeping as we saw people coming over the hill. We needed to have an attendance of at least 5,000, and we had 3,000. But that was okay, because I stood on the stage and I said, Lord, if we bring just one person to you, if we ignite just one person's spirit that has been sitting on the fence, I'm okay. We're going to be okay. On that Sunday night, someone came running backstage and said, Corey, you've got to get on the golf cart, because I don't run very well, and get to the river. They're baptizing 10 people. God had answered my prayer tenfold. So let me take it back to actually how we got to year one, because this is a really important testimony, and it changed my life. So as we were heading into the final days before the gates were going to open, we were at about the 2.5 week mark, and we needed $300,000 in order for this festival to go forward, or we were going to have to cancel, and we were going to have to give people's money back, and we were going to be in trouble. And so we put out the prayer calls. And I don't think Tammy and I have ever spent so much time on our knees. And at the time, the festival was out in Morley, as you know. We'd be out there face down on the ground, weeping, asking God, what do we do? What do we do? We're in trouble. What do we do? And 2 days after that, I got a phone call from this woman who I had met probably about a month before, And she knew that we were doing a lot of work with First Nations, and she called and she said, I need you to come to a meeting at my house. I want you to meet this woman. And I said, we don't have time. Being the A personality, I was going to solve all the problems. You know, we were going to find the money, and we were going to go out and talk to people, and we were booked, and we had schedules. And I hung up the phone, and God spoke, and he said, go to that meeting. And I looked at the heavens and said, I can't. I have no time. And he said, go to the meeting. So I called her back, and I said, okay, I will come to the meeting. And I remember calling Tammy, and her reaction was the same thing. We don't have time. We have no time. We can't go to this. And I said, Tammy, we have to go. God's telling me we need to go. So we go to the meeting, and we're talking about First Nations. And she said to me, well, now that we've talked about First Nations, you're doing a festival, correct? And I said, yes. And she said, tell me about it. And so I gave her the testimony of where God had brought us and where we were at. And I was extremely honest with her and said, we're having some real struggles here because we weren't getting the support and ticket sales that we had hoped. And we needed the extra money in order for this to go off. We had artists to pay. We had production people to pay. So she looked at me for a minute. And then she kind of threw her head back and she said, you need to meet my uncle. And I said, okay. Not knowing who her uncle was. And she said, I'll call you later on today because I really think he needs to hear this story. So I went home. Telephone rang and she said, you need to be downtown tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. I'll meet you at this office building and we're going to go in. I'm going to introduce you to my uncle. So Tammy and I go downtown. Building didn't have any signage or anything on it. We go in, we go up to the executive offices, we walk into a boardroom, and this gentleman walks in, sits down, and says, tell me what's going on. So we tell him. And we give him our testimony. And it's the first time I've ever been afraid of a man who's shorter than me. He gave me a very big lecture about how could you get this far? And that's a lot of money. And, you know, you've come to this place. Like, this is huge, Kari. This is big. And I said, yes, I know. And he said, well, leave it with me. Got up and walked out. And so Tammy and I thanked the young lady, and we left. We got in the car. 9 o'clock that night, my cell phone rang, and it was a gentleman, and he said, I have 5 questions for you. Okay. First question was, how strongly do you feel God wants you to do this? Second question was, how strong is your faith? Third question is, how many people do you think this is going to reach? Fourth question was, and you have to understand, this was a little bit of a comical question because he was a Catholic. And I was raised Catholic and I became born again when I was a young woman. And he said, I don't understand this crossover. Explain it to me. And so I did. And the fifth question was, how committed are you? And I said, at this point, this is my life. This is what God has instructed me to do. And I have no choice. I have to do this. And for that moment, I think I felt a little bit like Noah. And I actually dubbed the No Greater Love Project the Noah Project, because that's what I felt like at that particular moment. So I hung up the phone, and then we called quite a few people and said, pray. We don't know what's coming. Please pray. So the next morning, our phone rang, and my phone rang, actually. It was 7 o'clock in the morning. I was in my prayer closet, and I thought, I don't usually answer the phone. I came out, I answered the phone, and it was this young lady, and she said, I don't care what you're doing right now. Get in the car and get downtown. And I said, I'm still in my pajamas and I live out by Water Valley. Get in the car and get downtown. So I called Tammy and I rushed in, picked her up, and off we go. We walk in. The gentleman comes out of his office. He grabs my hand. He takes me into the office and I sit across from him. And he said to me, "I have never in my life had such a restless night. I did not sleep all night. I prayed. I tossed and turned. I argued with myself. I got up and I sat at the end of our bed on our bench. And I looked up and I said, 'Jesus, what do I do?' And he started to cry. He wept and he said, 'I've never had a feeling like this come over me as I did.' He said it was like a heat lamp had come through him. And I knew I had to give you the money." And Tammy and I looked at each other and I looked at him. And I, at this point, I reached over and I grabbed his hands and I was crying. And I said, "Thank you for your faithfulness. But what does this mean?" And he said, he turned to Tammy and he said, "Did you bring your briefcase? Do you have a canceled check in there?" And Tammy said, "As a matter of fact, I do." And he said, "Go with this person." So this secretary was there. He said, "The money will be in your accounts in 20 minutes. That is the power of prayer. We had been praying for exactly $300,000. This man came out of nowhere. We had never met him before. We didn't know anything about him. And God instrumented all of it. And at that moment in my life, my faith changed. And the way that I pray changed. Because I learned in that second that we truly are children of God. We are his children. And he doesn't want us to suffer. And if we are obedient in what he is asking us to do, it doesn't mean it's not going to be without issues, because we're always going to have hiccups, because the hiccups teach us what we need to learn in order to get to the next step. But if we pray honestly, gut-wrenching, "Father, this is what I need because you have told me this is what you want me to do," he delivers. But it's about faith. So I'm going to throw something that's totally outside of the box. I have spent my whole life in prayer, at the end of every prayer, saying, "If it be your will, Father." But when we were praying for what we needed for No Greater Love, we never said, "If it be your will, Father." We said, "Father, we know that this is what you have told us to do. And we're believing and we're standing on your word that this is going to happen." And it did. It was as simple as that. Sometimes we make prayer too complicated. If we really have the relationship with Jesus that we are striving to have, we have to come back to the basics of simplicity. We have to come back to the basics of just talking to him. He knows our heart. He knows every single one of us and what's inside of us. But he's waiting for us to ask. He truly is. And this, for me, was the turning point. I would have to say that and I'm going to tell you how old I am, but at 60 years old, if someone would have told me at this point in my life, when I should be gearing down for retirement, that I would take on this huge of a project, I would have told them, no. No. But God had other plans. And he has a plan for your life. He has a script for your life. And everything that you do in life, from sitting in your classrooms to working a part-time job to the relationships you have with your families, that's to teach you something. That's to strengthen your faith. That's to strengthen your relationship with Jesus. Because we are continually honing our spirits in order to be more Christ-like. And it's not an easy, easy journey. We all know that. How many of us get up in the morning and go, oh, it's another day and I have to face this today? But what we forget to do is say, oh, it's another morning, but you know what, Lord? This is your morning. You gave it to me as a gift. So I'm going to listen and I'm going to do what you tell me to do. And that comes from prayer. That comes from being in the Word. And that comes from listening. So coming back to No Greater Love, No Greater Love has become this incredible ministry. And God's vision for this, I truly believe the extended vision is this becomes our Christian Mecca. God has placed No Greater Love in our backyard, in this beautiful, incredible place where people can come here and see the majesty of His work, His hand. When you look out at the mountains, what do you think? He's a pretty incredible artist. He could have taken No Greater Love. He could have taken anybody. Didn't have to be me. He could have chose anyone. It didn't have to be Tammy. He could have chose anyone. He could have chose someone in Halifax. He could have chose someone in Montreal. He could have chose to put this anywhere, but he chose here. And my message today is we need to be good stewards of this. We need to look after No Greater Love. Tammy and I have been on this journey, and we have done a lot of it ourselves and with the incredible volunteers that have come on board. We're always looking for young people to come out and share their faith. We're looking for individuals that catch the passion, that understand what this is and what this means. We have an incredible opportunity here to share God's love with not just our people in Calgary. Last year, we had people from as far away as Alaska. We have had people come from Seattle. We have had people come from Montana, Idaho, Sandpoint. I find that really interesting. We've had an incredible caravan that comes from Winnipeg and Saskatoon every year. But we need to get our own churches mobile, especially in Calgary, especially in Alberta. We need to get the message out that this just isn't a concert where 16 artists show up to give everybody a good time, which they do. But this is a place where people can come and be one in the Spirit and celebrate. And you know, when that Spirit, how many have been to No Greater Love? Awesome. Okay. So if I say to you, have you had an epic experience of the Spirit when you're at No Greater Love? Am I off the mark with that? Because it's really interesting to me when I talk to people after they have attended, minus the dust and the camping and all that kind of stuff. When it comes down to the actual fruits of the Spirit and what happens on the field, we know that the Holy Spirit shows up. We know. We've seen it. We've seen it. We know that there are no denominational barriers. There are no spiritual barriers on that field. I have sat back the second year. And for those of you that come on Sunday mornings, we have 1 hour of worship on Sunday mornings. And that is a collective of worship teams. And we take people from all over, whoever wants to register, because we want it to be a collective. And I was coming in the golf cart to take my seat to partake in this, and worship had already started. And the worship team was doing the Catholic Creed. in song as part of what was happening on the stage. And it was very interesting to me because all of a sudden, I saw people holding hands and worshiping together, and I knew that we had Baptists, we had Lutherans, we had United people, we had Catholic people, we even had a few Jewish people that had come to the festival. That is confirmation of what God is trying to do here. So I feel really blessed that I've been able to share this with you this morning. Sometimes it's difficult because we'd like to get out and talk to as many people as we can so people can truly understand what it is God is trying to do here. When we moved to the seminary grounds, and I want to share this because I think that this was God's plan. In the beginning, I truly felt that God wanted us in Morley. And for 2 years, we did great work out there. We had great relationships with the people in the community. We employed First Nations people. We had a couple people come to Christ the first year. It was an incredible experience. Then we fast forwarded to last summer, and we ended up in a lot of prayer because, unfortunately, there was a lot of unrest that was happening. And Tammy and I looked at this and said, what do we do, Lord? Do we stay? Do we go? What do you want us to do? And I have to say that Ed was very instrumental, and I believe that God created a soldier in him because we started having conversations. And then we had conversations. And we felt extremely blessed that we were able to bring No Greater Love here. But what was really interesting, and this is really important for you, as it's important for everybody, but for the students, this is really important for you to understand. When we made that change, we sold 1,000 tickets in 48 hours when we put the word out that the venue had been changed here. That was my confirmation that God was saying, okay, it's time, and this is where I want you to be. This is an incredible, incredible thing. And for students and the student body, I really encourage you to come on board with us. Come on board with us. We can use your help. But more so, we would really enjoy the fellowship with you because we think that God has planted No Greater Love here for a reason. I don't know all the reasons yet. He hasn't revealed it to us yet, but he will. He always does. So I really encourage that. But what the priority is today in this testimony is I really want to encourage you to have an awakening with the power of prayer. I really want you, whatever it is that you feel you need right now, I want you to go to the Lord with it. And I want you to talk it through with him. And I want you to get your friends to pray with you about it. And stand on the word that whenever two or more are gathered and we ask, it'll be. And then I want you to come and tell me the next time I see you, Kari, God answered my prayer. Because he will. You just have to have the conviction and you have to walk in faith. You don't have to understand it. Because believe me, this journey, I haven't understood half of it, but I just keep putting one foot in front of the other and walking in faith. And we're all going to make mistakes. We all do. But God's okay with that. Because I always say God has this incredible blackboard. And we write it down in our script as we're going along, our soul scripts. And we make a mistake and he just takes the eraser and he erases the board. And he says, okay, we're going to start again. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to have conviction. Don't be afraid to ask with intention. Don't be afraid to walk in faith, because he is faithful to his children. And when you celebrate it, just like I am today, someone else is going to celebrate it. And it's almost what I call the prayer, pay it forward. Because people will see the joy in you and people will go, really? Really? I want some of that. I want some of that. And that gives you an opportunity to organically share Jesus with people just by the success of the power of prayer. So thank you. I'm very humbled to be here, and I'm excited Tammy will come and she's going to share with you. But if you have, can I do questions? Like, any questions? Oh, you guys are so easy. Why are you so, I know why you're so easy. You're like, I've got 22 papers to do. Yes, absolutely. So there's a couple things that I'd like to ask you to consider. One of the things we want to do starting in January is a church outreach. Because one of the things that's happened is when I talk to people, they say to me, my church didn't know about it. My church didn't have any advertising about it. I didn't know anything about it. So we really want to get out to those churches. And what we're going to do is split the city of Calgary so far. We're hoping we can reach out to other cities, but we're going to start with Calgary and maybe Airdrie and Okotoks. But for now, Calgary will be split into four quadrants, and we are going to do up red boxes. And in that box is going to be a postcard, which will have all of the artists that are coming. On the back, it's going to have the ministry mission of the festival. There will be a stick in it, which will have all the trailers for the festival. And there will be a code for each church to get a further discount on their tickets. But we need manpower. And I don't even like to call us manpower. I call us soldiers. We're soldiers and we're ambassadors of Christ. So if you want to pray for that in terms of manpower and us reaching the churches, that would be so appreciative. We just need to get the word out. We have, I think we're up to 85 or 8,600 followers on Facebook, which is a huge blessing. But direct traffic to the Facebook page with your friends. If you haven't gone to the page yet, please go like and follow it and then share it. Because there's a lot of great messages that we try to share for different ministries, things that are going on in the city, to encourage this to kind of become a information highway in terms of things that are going on. And just pray for more people to come. Our goal this year is 10,000 souls. That's a lot of people. And we need prayer. We need the power of prayer. The other thing that we're looking at doing is actually setting up prayer teams that will meet once a month. And I would love to be able to talk to you maybe about doing that here as well, where we can get the students more involved. And there's all kinds of fun things you can get involved with. It's not just necessarily being out on the field. We've got production things, if you're interested, you know, in kind of the back end of things. There's all kinds of different things you can be involved in. And we would love to have you on board. We also want you to take this message back to your churches. Take it back. Talk about it. Talk about what No Greater Love actually is and what we're trying to accomplish in the city. Sure. So one of the things that happened when No Greater Love first started, our Christian artists really didn't like coming to Canada. They didn't. Sorry, but they didn't. There were a couple reasons for that. One of it was the way that they were treated was very different than how they were treated in the States when they used to come through to tour. So I took a trip to Nashville with Tammy, and we went down and we talked to a lot of the artists, and we also talked to a lot of the agents. And we said, okay, what do we need to do? And the message that came back was very familiar to Tammy and I, because Tammy and I have both worked mainstream entertainment, so we know what the expectation is when a person is touring or a band is touring, or you know, they go to multiple venues within a 1 week period and they're exhausted. So we put all of those things into place. And then they came and they experienced something totally different spiritually than they've ever experienced at any of the other festivals. And I was curious, because in the entertainment business, you will very rarely hear from an artist once they play and they go. You may hear from their agent, you may hear from their manager, but you'll very rarely hear from an artist. And within 3 days after the festival, my phone and my email was blowing up from 16 artists. And the message was all the same. We don't know what's going on up there in Canada, but the spirit is really moving. And we have experienced something different. It wasn't just a gig. Now, you have to understand, these artists, as I said, sometimes they play 5 dates. Boom, 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 boom. They're in a tour bus. They may play one place. They get on the tour bus. They go to sleep. They wake up in a different state. And they do the next show. And it's not that they're not sharing their message, but what they said was, a lot of times, they're not getting anything back when they're sharing the message. That didn't happen at No Greater Love. If anybody watches the videos, you will see that there was an engagement. And one of the gentlemen from Building 429, and I believe this video is on the Facebook page and on our website, he was interviewed. And the interviewer said to him, well, how do you feel about what's happening? And he said, there's a church out there. There's a church out there in that field. And we go to so many places, and they had just gotten back from Europe. And he said, we share, but it's very hard to get engagement, and you really have to work hard to get the spirit. But that doesn't happen here. That doesn't happen here. Now, to put this into perspective, there are 50 U.S. festivals across North America. We became, and I humbly say this, we became the buzz of Nashville after year two, with all of the artists and the agents. And we were getting calls and they were saying, what are you doing up there? Something's happening up there, because these artists want to come back to No Greater Love. They want to fly for 8 hours to get to you. They want to come to No Greater Love. Mike Dennehy from 10th Avenue North, he looks forward to our festival every single year. This year, I'm not bringing him back. And I got a phone call. Why aren't we invited back? And I said, well, Mike, I only have so many spots, and I had to cut two back, and you've been with us every single year, and we love you to death, but we're just going to give it a year off. Well, I want to come. That's the kind of reaction we're getting, because it's a spiritual reaction. So God's working here. Tammy and I had the privilege of going in September to Nashville to meet with all of the other producers from across the U.S. It was enlightening. I learned an incredible amount of things, but they all said the same thing to us. We hear incredible things about No Greater Love. We hear incredible things about what's going on in the field. And they have incredible things that happen in their own ministries and their own festivals, but they know something different is happening up here. So that tells us that this has always been God's plan. Because they're talking about us. They're talking about us all across the U.S. Canada was invited for the first time in 20 years to be part of this festival association in the U.S. No Greater Love is now on the master festival map. That's nothing we did. That's God. That's God. So he's given us a gift. He truly has given us a gift. And I hope if you walk away from here today, if nothing else, you will feel the way that we do, that we have to protect it. We have to be good stewards of this gift. And we have to help it to grow. We have to help it to spread the message so that God's vision of 20,000 people in the field, close your ears because I know 20,000 people in the field is a little bit frightening, but that was the vision, 20,000 people in the field. But he needs more foot soldiers. We need more foot soldiers to help us to get the message out, to help us fulfill God's vision. This is not my vision. It's not Tammy's vision. This is God's vision. We're just the catalyst. He's just using us as his soldiers. That's it. That's all it is. And we're trying to do the best that we can to honor him. So what I'm asking today is that you help us to do the best that we can to honor him and get a little bit more involved with No Greater Love. If you've got any questions at all, I'm only an email away. We would love to have you on board. Tell your other students. Talk to your families, talk to your churches, and help us to get to the goal, the NOAA Project. Our festival is our ark, and we're going to build it.